Okie dokie. We're continuing with this question about Kezias. So it says, Eretz of Shilin needs a Kezias. Right? It needs a Kezias. And the question was, does he need per person or one Kezias sufficient for everybody? So we said, what's the halach of Kezias? Is it a din in the chafza that the chafza has to be a Kezias? So I don't care how many people it's for, it's one chafza of an Erev. Or do you say it's that the matir of Erev, the function of the Erev, is what demands a Kezias, which means that if I, when I cook upon reliance upon the Erev. So what I am relying on is my share in the Erev. So my share is going to have to be a Kezias. Right? My share is going to have to be a Kezias because it's a din, and if you say it's a din in the Matya that I am relying on and I'm building on, I'm continuing the Bishul of the Erev, so what my relevance is only to the portion of the Erev which I own. So if that would be the case, then I would, if the shear is a shear in the heter of Erev, so then you'd say that you need a Kezias per person. But if you say that, no, really my reliance on Erev, I could have a kulture. It doesn't matter. The only thing is that the chafetz of an Erev has to be a significant food item, so therefore it has to be a Kezias. So if that's the case, then as long as the chafetz is a Kezias, who really cares about how many people it's for? And that's the conclusion. Okay, that's the conclusion. The din of a Kezias is the din of the chafetz. It's not a din of your matir or you're using the Erev. It's in the chafetz has to be a Kezias. Okay, that's what we did yesterday. Okay, Tanan. So we're on the sixth line on Yud Tav Zayin Amud Beis. Tanan, Achlo Sha'avad, Lo Yivashal Ovetchela. So if you lose your Erev, right? Let's say you lose the Erev, right? Or you eat the Erev. So you're not allowed to use it to cook. Right? You're not allowed to use it anymore. Right? The matir is gone, because that's what the idea is. Your cooking has to be reliance upon the Erev. If there is no Erev, it's very nice you placed it, but if it's no longer available, no longer around, then it doesn't work. Shir mimenu kol shehu. If you left over a kol shehu of it, somech alav Shabbos. You could rely on it for Shabbos. Okay? You could rely on it. So doesn't that imply my kol shehu lav afik of deleka kezayis. So what does it mean kol shehu? The implication is, even if it's not a kezayis, right? And that would imply, what would that imply? You don't really need a kezayis, right? That would be the implication. You don't really need a kezayis. Okay? So that seems to be a question on the statement of Rabbi Abba that Erev Toshila needs a kezayis. Okay? The other option would be, we'll see, is that it needs a Kezias, but it doesn't need a Kezias. As long as you... Sandy, what do we do? The other option would be that you have to have a Kezias for starters, but then when it gets reduced, as long as you have a little bit left, that's fine. But for now, it doesn't seem like the Gemara is really considering that option. I mean, Gemara, you'll see, it will consider at some point. But for now, it seems to be that Gemara is saying, it seems that it indicates that you don't need a Kezias, because it's a Shir Menachol Shehu, so as long as you have a little bit left. So, because you just sat down, that it doesn't matter what you placed, what matters is what there is, what's there. So if what you have there is a Kezias, if we have there is a Kezias, or it says kol shehu works, so apparently kol shehu works for Erev, so it seems to question the fact that what you need a Kezias for Erev. So the Gemara says, lo, yes, be Kezias, when it says, if you leave over a kol shehu, it doesn't mean a kol shehu. Doesn't mean nothing, any amount, it means a Kezias. That's what it means. Right? So why does it say kol shehu? So Rashi explains a little bit, right? It says, does he? Yeah, lo disbe Kezias. Right, the second line. The logabi kikar shalom karle kol shehu. So as compared with, relative to an entire roll, an entire thing, you call it a kol shehu. I mean, even if a kol shehu is left over, but of course, it doesn't mean it could actually be a kol shehu. It just means relative to the roll, it could be a kol shehu. And that's what it means. And then what's the teaching you? What's it teaching you then? What's the chiddush then of that halacha?
Like a full on thing?
Then you don't need a full thing. Okay, well, you could say, but whoever heard that you need a whole kikar? I mean, you could say that. It's teaching that every student doesn't need a whole kikar. Or you could say it's teaching you that if, and this is what we mentioned before, is that if you place a full kikar and then it becomes diminished to a kol shehu, to a kazayas, that's not going to be good. So to speak, you could say it's teaching you that your Erev has to match that which you already placed. Right? So if you placed the whole thing and all you have left is a kol shehu, it's not going to work anymore. Right? But it's teaching you that it doesn't matter. Right? Yeah.
Okay, what is a kol shehu?
Any, a small amount. An infinitesimal. Yeah. Okay. So what do we have here? Okay, so what do we have here? What new points here are being introduced into this discussion? Okay, that we have to define. You know, so it seems that there's a new idea, is that you could have, it's a question whether Eretz Yisrael needs a shir altogether. Right? It seems like it's saying is maybe not, maybe it doesn't need a shir. Right? I mean, it ends up saying it does, but the Gemara is really questioning Rabbi Abba's thing. We thought Rabbi Abba's pasha needs a shir, but apparently the Gemara is hav, you know, it seems that it could have even been a kol shehu.
Well,
right?
You know, we just said if it is a kol shehu, we can't use it. If we leave only overall,
right,
small amount, not use it.
No, you can. Well, it depends. At the end of the day, the Gemara says, the Mizbraisa says that if you leave a kol shehu, you could use it. So the Gemara says, oh, so you see, you don't even need a shir, you don't need a kazayas. So my answer is, no, it doesn't mean a kol shehu. Kol shehu doesn't really mean kol shehu. Kol shehu means a kazayas. But really, if you left a mamish, a kol shehu, mamish nothing, then it wouldn't work. But the havamina would be, was, that really the shir of a kazayas is a kol shehu. There's no shir. So to me, what do you think about that? Saying that it doesn't need a shir. It doesn't need a shir. We have to define that. Yeah, I'm not going to, whether it needs a shir or doesn't need a shir. But which side of those do you think is easier or harder? Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think it's hard to say it doesn't need a shear. How do you have a chav tzitzel mitzvah that doesn't have a shear? I mean, a kol shehu? I mean, you have a tiny, little, infinitesimally small thing. You say that's going to be sufficient for an Erev? I mean, it's a chav tzitzel mitzvah. Whoever heard of a chav tzitzel mitzvah that doesn't have a shear? It's a kol shehu. Right? I mean, it's strange. It's strange to even entertain such a possibility. Now, I mean, it doesn't seem like, it's one thing we don't say, it shouldn't be a kazayis, it should be a something else. I don't know. But it's not what he's saying. He's saying it seems like it's a kol shehu. Like, that was the question. What happens if you leave a kol shehu? So, maybe we should try to define that question. Do you or do you not need a shir for an Erev? Okay, so I'm thinking like Matt's saying. Okay, the question is how is, and this is like a really early on question. It's fundamental. I mean, I know it's like, maybe that's why it's so hard to come to, because we've always been assuming differently, but it's a havamina, you know, which is rejected, so it's fine. But we discovered this a while ago, because when we realized that you don't have to necessarily cook it, you could take something old or someone else's, right? I mean, but the question is, how does Erev Tashilin work? So you could say is that you begin cooking on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, and you continue cooking. Because the matir is that you have begun the process earlier, and you are continuing the process. Okay? That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the matir is that there is a chafza of an Erev, which is my Maichal Shal Shabbat, and I'm adding on to my Maichal Shal Shabbos. Once again, the first way is the matir is the process, that the process has begun and I'm continuing the process. The other way is that the chafta exists, and my cooking is adding to that chafta. It's a Meichel Shal Shabbos, and I'm adding to that. Okay, so if you say that it's just a matir as the maisa of you've begun your preparation, so then there's no shear in the maisa. You started your cooking. You started it, it doesn't matter how much you've done. The process, there's not a shear in the process of cooking. There's no shear in the process of cooking, it's kazayas or whatever. There's no shear like that. So the shear is a shear in a chila or in an otha. So you say is that you've begun your cooking for your cooking. So now who cares? Now what's the role of the chafta? So the role of the chafta is that is what hooks you. So you're like, why don't you just say, how could you say the matir is that I begun my cooking? What relates me halachically to the cooking that I did? It's history. So that since I have the chafza, which the action of cooking produced, so thereby I'm related to the process of cooking which took place. And you say, I'm continuing. It relates me to my cooking of Erev Yontif, and thereby my cooking on Yontif is a continuation of that cooking. Why? How is it a continuation? Because there's the food that was begun on Erev Yontif. So you need the food to relate you to the original thing. But that doesn't need a shear, because it's not really like a chafta shal mitzvah. It's just its role is to be a carryover to relate you to the original process. So as long as you have a product of the original process, and that you could lean on it in order to build, in order to continue cooking. But if you tell me that the matir is not that I've begun the process earlier, but the matir is the chafta shel erev, the chafta of maichal shel Shabbos, is what allows me to lean on it and to add to it. So then the chafta is endowed with the significance. It's the maichal shel Shabbos, and the chafta shel mitzvah has to have a shear. So it's saying it needs a shear, it needs a kezias, and that's a maskana. But again, the havamina held that that's not true. But the din of the matir is not really the chafta per se. It's true you need a chafta, but that's simply to hook you into the action which you've begun. But if that's the case, then the chafta doesn't have a shear because it's not a true chafta. I'm just wondering, is that original question, which I guess Yonah pointed out originally, is that the Gemara is the case where a shear and a kalsho, you know, like you leave over a kezias. You leave over a kalsho. Sounds like you started with a kezias and then you have leftover, you know? Right? So maybe you could say that even if you were to say that the matir is that the process, that you've begun your process and you're continuing your process, right? Even if you were to look at it that way, I could see arguing is that if it's not a cooking of a kezias, if you've cooked less than a kezias, that's not really significant. It's not a cooking for Shabbos. It's not, I mean, you're cooking garbage, you're cooking nothing, you're cooking, you know, how much you're cooking. Like you could say that the process has to have a certain amount for it to be considered really a cooking of ocha. Otherwise, it's just some cooking of crumb. That's not really cooking. You'd say that the process has to be significant. It's a process of Bishul Shel Shabbos. If you're saying a Maichel Shel Shabbos has to be a kezias, you'd say a process of Bishul Shabbos has to have a significance, has to have a kezias. But even if you were to say that, still, I would say is that if you cook a kezias and then half of it gets ruined, and you still have half of it left, then that's sufficient. Because the role of the chafta is merely to relate you to the process which took place. So it's true the process had to be a kezias. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have the entire kezias still to relate you to that process. So it's just simply you have to have a remnant of that process so that you could say, I'm continuing that process. So perhaps the Gemara is saying is, shir ben kolshu would work if the matir is the maisa. Right, but if you were to say that the din of erev tavshilin is the din of the chafta, that the din of the way it works is through the chafta, and that's why you need a shear and the chafta, then who really cares? The beginning, the end, it doesn't really make any difference, right? Because the chafta is the chafta, the chafta is the matir. Who cares what it used to be? What is it now? It's not a kezias, not a kezias. Perhaps. The only thing is, I just realized as I was saying this, is it's still not smooth in the flow of the Gemara if you say it that way. Because it seems Rabbi Abba is saying you need a kezias. And the Gemara is asking from Rabbi Abba, what do you mean? But you see this case that if you leave over a kalsho, it's good. So how do you know Rabbi Abba holds it in the chafta? Why can't Rabbi Abba just say, oh yeah, that's because you left over a kezias? It seems like the Gemara is not entertaining that possibility. It seems like the Gemara is holding they're the same. The before and the after are the same. You know, and if you tell me that a kezias is less than a kezias is good at the end, less than a kezias is good at the beginning. Which would indicate, if you buy that in terms of the bishul, there's no din of a shear in the bishul. You know? But if you say that a kezias works at the end, it's going to work at the beginning. You know, I'm not sure about that. I mean, you could argue there's no such thing as a shear in a bishul. Like, the shear just not the kezias is a din in achila, in the process of eating, or chafta of eating, but in the maisa of bishul, I've never really heard of a shear of bishul like that. I think. Process of bishul of Shabbos. Yeah, I'm not sure. So we're going to move to the next question. The next question is, if I place a big Erev, let's say five Kezias Erev, right? Big thing. It's a huge steak or something, you know? And then I leave, I eat half of it. So do you say, so where I place a kikar, a big kikar, a big challah, and now I eat half of it. Do you say, shir menu kol shehu, which means I'm leaving over relative to the whole thing which I place, it's like a kol shel, it's like a little bit. Do you say that that's good enough? Do you say no? That's not good. Too late. You already placed more. So what's that question? What's that having on Skana? One hint you have is like you see the Gemara's calling it like a kol shel. It's a little bit of it. It's like that's what would be the you would think it doesn't work because it's saying is it's like a kol shel. So what does it mean? It's like a kol shel. It means relative to the arrow that you placed, it's like a kol shel. Relative to the full kikar, it's like a kol shel. That's why it calls it the kol shel, even though it's not really a kol shel, it calls it like a diminutive term almost, you know, like a kol shel. Yeah.
Other things I
okay, so let's read a little further. So the Gemara says like this. Tashma. See, it's Tashma. It's a continuation of this discussion about whether you need to exercise or not. So it says, Tavshil Zetzli. It's roasted. Rafilu Kavosh Shalakam Avoshul V'kol Yisrael Spanis. Shaslo Cham Erviantav. So it could be, let's see some Rashi's here. Kavosh Bechomet. So it's like, it could be like pickled. Shalok, Mivushal Harbin mode, it's cooked like a lot, very cooked. The Kulya Swan Shalom Khal Kham Arabiantif. Or Kilisa is some salted fish that's very eaten like raw, but you put a lot like hot water on it, that's why you cook it. You cook it, you just pour hot water on it, and that's basically finishes it up, makes it edible. So that's also. Right? So that's considered a bishul. So these are also sufficient methods of bishul. Okay. Chiloso v'sofo, and so that's not really relevant to this to our discussion, whether these methods, this is part of the brisa. Chiloso v'sofo ain't no shear. So the beginning and at the end, it has no shear. Okay? So what does it mean at the beginning and at the end? So chiloso, right? So kisha'asa tashal ain't no shear, kamei ebo. When you cook it, when you prepare it, when you place it, there's no shear. And sofo, achlo v'shove v'shear v'shear, and at the end, means when you're ready to use it, there's no shear. So you see it's saying, is this no shear? Right, it's pretty clear. My love ain't no shear klal. Doesn't that mean there's no shear? Right? Sounds like there's no shear. Or it says, no. Klo, ain't no shear l'mayla. But yeshel shear l'mata. No, it means there's no shear, there's no maximum shear. But there's a minimum shear. Rashi. My ain't no shear klal. Lo l'rav l'mat. Nor maximum or minimum low in lo shi lamaila lo mar shol yosef al kach v'kach. Right, there's no shear above. In other words, there's no halacha that you can't have more than so and so. But lamata lo yipchos megizayis. That's really success. So you seem to have puzzled looks on your face because you're wondering. And that's really the hard thing. Is the Gemara is saying is apparently the Gemara says there's no shear for Erev. So doesn't that sound like there's no shear? It says no. It means there's no upper shear. There's no upper limit to how big your Erev is. But of course, there's a lower limit. It's Kavayas. Right? So the question is well, what kind of Havamin is there? There'd be an upper shear. But I'd say that you can't place an Erev that's 100 days in. Why not? You know, whoever heard of an upper, why would there be an upper shear? What sense does that make? Right? What sense does that make? Yeah, and also, we could get into it. I mean, it kind of depends on how we learn this thing. But you see the Gemara saying a shear b'tchila and a shear b'sof. Right? The saying is there's no shear. That's chila sof, ain't no shear. So there's no shear in the beginning and at the end. So, I mean, I guess it would be interesting to. I mean, it depends on what you thought or what you say it meant. Right? If you the havmina meant there's no shear below. At the end, it's saying there's no shear at the end, you know, there's no shear on top. But like, what's this idea of tchilas on sofo? Maybe we could just get some clarity on like the what it means. Like, what's the? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what. Depending on how we learn the Gemara, but that's it's kind of interesting bringing in this idea of tchilas on sofo. Maybe we could try to sort that out. Right? Like, is there apparently the havmina that there would be a shear at the beginning but not at the end, or something like that, right? Or vice versa? I mean, that's I guess what's it trying to address there? Are you trying to? It sounds like it's bringing up another a further point. Right, in some sort of way or other. Okay, so I guess let's try to sort these things out. And I guess this is what, today's Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe if we could do these tomorrow, then maybe we could do some hashkafa on Thursday, something like that. That's kind of what I'm thinking. See what happens.